Hi, this week's episode of The Oprah Rose Show has been brought to you by OxiClean.
So you guys know I'm a super neat freak and type A, so I always keep a container of OxiClean odor blasters. Between rotating the same pair of sweatpants over a few weeks, it's a must.
Child, tell me about it. It's also perfect to get rid of any musty smells from my gym clothes, because y'all know I'm back to running 5 miles a day to help with the holiday calories.
Oh, yes, I saw that. Good for you. Honestly, OxiClean has been the best for me, especially with Jess. I know you guys hear her. You know, she's a 2-year-old now, so she's super active, which means I have to wash her clothes basically every day. And don't get me started on how much I wash her comfort toy. Luckily, OxiClean gets out all the stains and it's chlorine-free and color safe, so I feel better.
Okay, y'all. So we really love this brand, and you guys have to try OxiClean Odor Blasters for yourself. To work your magic with OxiClean, go to OxiClean.com/try me and order a free sample. That's OxiClean.com/TRYME for a free odor blaster sample while supplies last.
So y'all make sure you get that. Keep it clean, not musty, and let's start the show.
Yo, you listening to the Oprah Rose Show with TT and Gigi, and yeah, get it poppin'.
Thoughts. Everything begins with thoughts.
She's a slut, she's a hoe, she's this, she's that.
We say to girls, you can have ambition, but not too much.
It's about people being uncomfortable with women owning their sexuality.
What is the truest, highest vision that you hold for yourself?
I'm a real ass bitch, and I'm gonna get everything that I'm gonna get on my own.
I know for sure. You don't get what you wish for. You get what you believe.
Hi, y'all.
What's up? What's up?
This is episode 170 of the Oprah Rose Show. I'm Gigi.
And I'm Dee Dee. And we're the Oprah Rose Show.
We're the Oprah Rose Show. We're missing our homegirl, TT Bear. She's out today.
She's playing with us.
But like, she's here in spirit.
We don't even know what to do. I'm like, wait, what are we supposed to say? I'm so used to
I know,
to
she
TT
keeps the
going.
Girls together.
Yeah.
She keeps the girls together. Tiance. But it's okay.
I call it Tiance in the group chat.
She's definitely Tiance, and I'm Michelle.
Definitely. I'm definitely giving Kelly.
You're definitely giving Kelly.
Definitely giving Kelly. It's given. I'm the second lead singer, okay? Second lead vocalist, would she say?
And I be giving falling on the floor at 106 when during a performance.
But you got back up and you was just you clocked back into the moves real quick.
Try to. Any emails, questions, please send them to the Oprah Rose Show at gmail.com, your hotels, anything that you know, want to tell us, you obviously can find us on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple Music, Audio Mac, Anchor, our newest partner. Yeah. Shout out to Anchor. Much love. Much love.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And then on all socials, obviously, the Oprah Rose Show. We have a great show for you today.
Oh, my God.
We have a wonderful guest.
Wow.
His name is XD.
Shout out to XD.
From the Jaden XD podcast. We are so happy to have you. Welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing? Ba-ba-ba-ba.
Like my little horn.
Yeah.
What's going on?
How you doing?
I'm good. You know, I'm a little sad because, you know, of what's going on outside, so I can't see friends and family and stuff, but yeah. I'm doing it for the greater good, so I stay my black ass in the house.
Did you get rejected for Thanksgiving too?
I did. Now, mind you, I was really supposed to go home. I full disclosure, I have not seen my mother in a couple years, so
wow.
Yeah, so it that's not like on some beef shit. It's just because flying to California while living in New York is just a lot. So
right.
I now that she and I live in the same state, I was like, okay, Ma, I'm gonna fly up north and, you know, see you. We're having a little reunion. You know, my grandmother's about to turn 90, so I was just like, oh, it's gonna be a great thing. And then LA County is back to like phase zero.
Yeah. LA County is like, don't even come outside.
They're kicking out like outdoor dining. Like you can't even eat outside no more. That's about to be done as of Wednesday.
Yeah, I saw that.
As of when this episode airs.
Mind you, yeah. I got the alert and I was like, you're kidding, right? Like, not outdoor dining.
Mm-hmm. No, literally, it's bad. Like, super, super bad. Like, on Halloween, I went on a staycation in Santa Monica and uh-huh. it was just like a regular day. No mask. No, I'm like, it's supposed to be Halloween. That's the prime time for you to wear a mask. No,
right.
You can find a mask easily on Halloween.
Oh, yeah. No, niggas exactly. was cutting up in LA I think niggas was cutting up everywhere on Halloween. Absolutely. And now we're seeing the effects of it. But I mean, I got rejected from going home too. So you are not alone. Our mothers was like, yeah. And my mother takes care of my grandmother too, who will be 86 in February. So she is, yeah, it was quiet. So we're all in the same boat here.
Yeah. And my family works in COVID. So my mom's a nurse, my dad, my sister. So they're just like, yeah. And then my mother, her thing was like, so I know you're going to go see people. So you're going to be in and out the house. I don't have no people in and out my house at this point. Like, all my kids is grown. I'm used to being, you know, everybody in the house by four, the door's locked. It don't open again until I go out for work. And I'm like, fair point. I could see some anxiety with that. Like, oh, yeah. Lord, Gerald came home. Where's the Lysol?
Right.
Be that. Yeah. Listen, spray as soon as you in the house. Right.
So I understand the anxiety of like having me go in and out and hanging with people, although I'm safe, but I don't know what other people would be doing. And, you know, it's crazy that we're in this time that we have to be super cautious of just like talking to somebody. That's how you just get it being around. Like,
yeah,
it's not like an STD where, you know, you was doing some things, but like this is
right. You got to earn it.
Right. I just walked out the door.
you gotta earn that
disease.
Right. This one, you don't even have to earn it. Like, I could have just got it, like, walking the damn dog. Like,
exactly.
Wait, that's do you so think shady. More people are having unprotected sex now because they can die from COVID? It's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Mask off. Condom off.
So the real shade is if you go on, you know, and you search on the internet for what I like to refer as my Vidster originals. Mm-hmm. Like they
have my Vidster originals, not yeah. So they, it's programming specifically for my Vidster.
Mm-hmm. And they have masks on, but everything else is, you know, free as a bird. So it's just like, oh, well, that's okay.
What? That is very interesting because I could even see that being like, I don't want to get COVID, so I don't want to have sex with somebody or it's kiss. Like, I can see that being a thing. Like, I don't want to kiss this person because I might get that. And that's what you're worried about other than like STD. Like, that's crazy.
Yep. So, So all these dirty dick niggas who talk about like, oh, I don't like to kiss or whatever, they're in season now. Why?
They are.
Not the in season.
The I don't like to kiss niggas are in season.
Yeah, they're in season. They visionaries.
Ooh, visionaries. They peeped.
Yeah,
this is their peak.
they have foresight. You saying dirty dick niggas made me think of that meme that was circulating about how niggas let everybody touch that dick but the doctor.
Yeah. It's just true. Like
they can't raise no damn kids, but they'll raise a pit bull. You know what I mean?
That's...
Why is that so true? Niggas will raise that pit bull.
Child, and be crying when he died, Lord. They'll raise the shit out of a pit bull. Mm.
Okay. Take me with him. Here you go.
Y'all dumb. So since we're all rejected from our families for Thanksgiving this year, are y'all still giving looks? What's the plans for the table?
Well, go ahead, ooh, Steve. What you
question. Got? So, you know, since April 20th, or actually since March 20th, excuse me, I have been in my finest Golden Girls attire.
Yes.
Like, it's nothing but draperies, muumuus, you know, bra off, fuck it, bra off. I'm not like, no. So Thanksgiving, you know, I might, you know, put on draws. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I might gussy up for the occasion. But other than that, like, no.
He said put on some draws. That's fair.
Put on a bra. I can't. I think I'm going to do like a little, I said I was going to do like a little turtleneck on the top and then on the bottom and still be sweats. Because I foresee me sitting on my laptop, like just FaceTiming everybody, like, oh, what y'all eating with a little cocktail in my hand? Like, hey, with my turtle, like, so all you see is the turtleneck.
Because I knew you was giving a look, on though.
The regular.
Yeah.
You know, when you go home, it's like your mama make you dressed up because it's pictures or whatever. And also, yeah. You know,
and the family you ain't seen in a minute.
Yeah. And black mamas don't like you laying around the house all day. So you have to dress up.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, normally on a regular day, it's like, all right, girl, well, my mama home. So.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's up?
Right.
I mean, all you do is get dressed up to go right downstairs to the living room.
Exactly.
I'm gonna get this living room fit off. Okay.
Get that living room fit the fuck off. I might get dressed. I'm it depends on how I feel. Cause I wasn't going cook and now I'm cooking. I don't know how I went from cater to cooking.
What you mean?
I'm only cooking a couple of things. I'm frying a turkey, and I'm making the greens and the macaroni and cheese, and then the other stuff. Is gonna be catered.
How are you gonna say I'm only cooking little things? And you said
I'm frying a turkey, like.
But the fried turkey is because I live here now, so I have a driveway, and I can actually fry a turkey. Now in New York, I couldn't really fry one. I didn't have the space, you know, the outdoor space to accommodate that. So that's really just the country in me coming out. The greens and the mac and cheese is because, you know, you can't really trust people to do that right.
That's
you
fair.
Know?
That's
fair. So it's like, the dressing can be on the, you know, other shit can be eh. But those three things kind of got to be on point. So, well, not really the turkey, but the mac and cheese and the greens got to be on point.
It's the mac and cheese.
Point.
If you can't do nothing else.
It's the mac,
right.
it's the mac and cheese. Greens comes right after.
And get this, so it's not, I guess I'm going to two places now, because essentially I was just going to
your plans are just coming together at the moment.
Literally at the moment, as of when I went and picked my daughter up from her dad's house, all of his family is coming, like his brother, his kids and shit, they come in here. So he's like, can you make macaroni and cheese for me? And I'm like,
not another pan.
How you know?
Right.
Not two pans of the mac and cheese.
That's work. That's not even a holiday. That's just work.
Work for my baby daddy and them. But it is what it is. I don't mind it.
I love
it. You know, when you cook good, you like when people like to eat your shit. At the end of the day, you like when people like to eat your shit. So.
And you just standing there with your plate of your own food. Like, you like it?
Mm-hmm. You like, it's good, right?
That mac and cheese, right? That mac and cheese. I'm not gonna be cooking this year. Last night I went to this spot in Harlem, it's called Lighthouse. If you ever lived in Harlem, you know where it's at. It's like it's a seafood spot, and the line is out the door every day
before the pandemic.
125, right?
It's like 130th, I want to say.
It's right where it's on, I thought it was on 145th. No,
it's
in that area where you...
It's like on Frederick Douglass?
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
I was thinking of that other seafood spot on 125th, and I think like
House
Park
of Seafood
or something. Yeah.
Okay, that's the other one.
Okay.
House of Seafood. Okay. I know all the seafood spots in Harlem. Wow. so Lighthouse, last night I was like, all right, let me preview some like Thanksgiving-esque type of food so I know if I need to pull up and they need to be catering my Thanksgiving. Child, I had those yams last night. Oh my God.
Yes.
It's giving a firm yes. What? And then six poppy
cheese.
Talk about it was too sweet. I was like, oh no, this is sweet enough. It could be sweeter.
Ooh.
I need my yams tasting like candy, okay?
I mean, candied yams.
Candy yams. All the sugar. But it was amazing. So I might be getting my yams from them. Just like, can I just get a side of the yams, please? And a crab cake.
I will not be cooking. I fortunately have, I'm getting it like stuff delivered. Like I'm having a Thanksgiving dinner delivered. So that'll be that's a blessing. So I'm just going to just be here right on my couch, watching all of the,
she's so LA, all of my favorite,
watching all of my favorite TV Thanksgiving specials.
So you are like me, where you became a part of this recent migration to LA. Out of New York specifically. I feel like it's very specific from New York to LA. And I know you say you're like bi-coastal now, but what are your thoughts living here, even though you're originally from Northern California? How do you feel about LA? Are you happy here?
Ooh, happy is a strong word.
Okay.
No, I am happy in the idea of that I no longer have to, when you live in New York, you're on a state of heightened awareness all the time.
Yes.
And here I don't have to be that. And the reason why I say happy is a strong word is because I lived in New York for 16 years. So it was like, you have to unlearn that kind of stuff.
Yes.
So like I'll be at the grocery store and people just talk to me randomly and I'm like, oh no, XD, they're not trying to rob you. So
they actually like want to have a conversation.
Yeah. Yes. And you know, and like as a kid, I grew myself to like, I willed myself to live in New York City. And so like I have this whole mentality to do so. And now that I'm here, I'm just kind of like, well, this is different.
I feel like you just spoke my whole like so I willed myself to live in New York. I never saw myself leaving. Like even a year ago, me living in LA was like, no, I was fighting that shit. Like, I don't want to move. It ain't for me. The only reason why I became open to it is after becoming a mother. But you saying all of the things that you're still actively unlearning, same.
It's like, it's a process.
Yeah, I don't trust. I'm just now getting to the point where I can trust people just talking to me sporadically, but even still, it's like a level of discomfort. Like, why are you talking to me?
Yeah, like,
you know how I was fucked up, though? You know what's fucked up? And like how, and every other, and you'll understand both of you. Like, when I came into this apartment, right? And when I moved into my apartment sight unseen, I was just kind of like, it was kind of a traumatic story how I ended up here, but whatever, it's a blessing either way. Anywho, I got here and I was like, you know how New York, I got in here, there's like central air and AC.
Yeah.
When I first moved to New York,
you had to go buy that AC, somebody to put it in your window, or you nigger rigged it in your window.
All right, I walked in and where there's a dishwasher. You know how you have to like pretend to be like pretend you've been somewhere when you go to a fancy place? I was like, this is nice. A nigga made it.
Which is so crazy. That's like
standard everywhere.
That is standard everywhere else but in New York. New York makes you like earn your fucking stripes to earn like basic living.
Yeah, basic, and you really made it if you got a washer and dryer in your crib. That's New York. I made it.
Oh, that's white privilege.
So
because I'd never made it to where I had a unit in my crib, like in my actual apartment. It was in the building downstairs. That was as much as me making it, but never in better. The house.
That's still better than a lot of folks in New
York. That was an accomplishment. I felt like I attained some real success with that.
Oh my god. And I have a washer and dryer. Like, and I will never give it up.
Oh, you don't.
Is the pathway to freedom. That is
like the idea of like going to a laundromat. Oh my gosh. I can't go back to that life again.
Not that's what Harry fought for.
Exactly. That's freedom. Exactly what it was. To freedom. Like I have a dishwasher now, you know, in like certain projects around the country, they have a dishwasher. So I'm like, why is that not the standard in New York City? Just because you want to have buildings built in 1895, talk about renovated, cozy apartment. No.
Child. Meanwhile, lead poison just creeping behind all that paint from the 1800s.
Is that why I'm so crazy?
Listen, listen. Well, asbestos be wrong.
Not asbestos, child. Well, speaking of, I guess, viruses and asbestos and lead poisoning. Obviously, we're still in the COVID stage and vacations and going places. XD, have you been anywhere, like visited anywhere during COVID?
Outside of 20 minutes from my house.
Really? You have it like super local?
Yeah, I've just gone is going to Santa Monica. Like, I think it's helpful because I'm an earth sign. So, like, being at home is like a thing.
Wait, what's your sign?
I'm a Taurus.
Oh, my opposite.
So, I'm like kind of okay with, you know, being, you know, stationary. Mm-hmm. But I just got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm ready to like leave and do stuff. But I haven't, you know, I know a lot of people have gone on trips and things, and it's great. I think the biggest trip that I've made was me moving, just because I know that, I just don't want nothing that I wasn't born with. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I don't want no COVID. I don't want no SARS, H1N1.
You know, all of them viruses like they done made in somebody's basement apartment and shit. One of them white folk. Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Niggas is fucking monkeys and shit. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want that. Which is why I am in my, you know, white women of color home. You know what I mean?
White woman of color.
It's just scary, you know what I mean? Because it's like, there's nothing to do. But it's when you really think about all the things of pre-pandemic, it's like, yo, we were a little kind of gross.
I can't imagine. Into, like, being in the gym, like New York gyms are still open probably for like another week, I could imagine. I think they're going to be closing next week. But I think a big thing of like being in the gyms and watching people wipe down the equipment, like, why wasn't y'all doing that bullshit before?
Right.
Right.
Like, it's just like sanitary stuff that's just like, y'all was real nasty.
Cleaning the MTA twice a day. Why you was not cleaning it twice a day? That's like, that was the nastiest shit.
A month.
They were not. I used to love when they would come and I would just smell bleach on the subway, like in the actual like subway station, and you just smell like
Station. Oh, I don't know that.
Yeah. Oh, that, you know, well, no, you lived in Brooklyn. I feel like when I lived off of,
it was an A or C steps.
It was a C train. Utica.
Oh, Euclid. Utica. Utica would be.
Why I can't remember my stop? I cannot remember my stop. Anyway,
she lives in LA now, child. She never forgot that. Wait, where did I used to live in New York? Oh my God! So LA.
No, it's true. The only time I've ever seen the MTA ever clean is when I saw a dead person on the platform. And that's because they had to. And the other time was I had got drunk and passed out and randomly found myself at the airport at JFK. And so, you know, that's where like a lot of the homeless folks get on and still are get off. Cause right after the train stop is where a lot of the Holiday Inn is where a lot of that has turned into a shelter. So that's when I've seen them like bleach and stuff. But other than that, I was like, oh, this is new. Y'all cleaning?
And then like seeing them actually cleaning it. I mean, granted, I haven't been on the subway since the day they told us to like go home from work back in March. But that also is like I'm very fortunate that I can even do that. But from what I've seen just on social media, I'm like, wow, y'all really be cleaning the subways now.
Yeah. I stopped taking the train back in April because I was still like going to work and stuff. Mm-hmm. And even then, it was just kind of like, oh, this is new. Like, the A-trains look completely different. I was like, oh, y'all like restored this to original mint condition.
Come on, mint condition?
This is cute. I was like, I don't understand why this wasn't in practice before.
Why?
Like, I feel like we could have
I actually want people to continue wearing masks around me, too. I actually don't mind.
Yes.
I don't foresee that going away for, like, I really see us adopting more of an Eastern world. Of like, you know, like in Japan, China, when you are sick, you wear a mask as a courtesy. So I think now that this has happened, like, I just don't foresee myself going places without a mask, you know. Yeah. Anyway,
yeah, I'm so used
y'all seen
to it.
Versus.
Yeah.
Shout
out to Jeezy. Shout out to Jeezy.
You know, I had to hide my purse a couple of times. There was a lot of people on screen. There was a lot of niggas on screen. And I was like, ooh, God.
Not on the screen.
I was like, ah.
You playing that old shit. You playing that old shit. You know they grown now.
But you know what's wild is the fact that, like, niggas died over their beef and they up here politicking on some we are the future. No, sir. People died because of y'all beef. I don't understand how. And then, you know, y'all partners are in, you know, hell, because I'm assuming. And like, what the fuck, bro?
In hell, looking up. No, the memes about the dead partner looking up, watching him then perform Icy had me motherfucking weak, dog. I was just like, y'all are wild, but I loved it. That was a beautiful moment. I never thought that I would see them perform Icy in my lifetime, to be honest.
I never thought I forgot Jeezy was on the song.
Same. Yeah, and that was the song that started the shit. That was the song that started the beef. If you read Gucci's book, which is phenomenal, by
his
the way,
book
if you haven't
really,
read it, go
really
read
good.
My man,
great.
Go read
New
my
York
man's
Times
book.
Bestseller.
Yeah,
it's really good. He has lived a life. Okay.
He for sure.
Yeah, and I think even watching it, I was like, tensions are fucking high. Gucci won't even sit down.
No. And it's just like, I thought Keisha Kayor calmed you down.
I thought this was Gucci.
Every day. Because, you know, he don't talk unless she makes him talk.
Yeah.
So I thought everything
But you
was
know, she wasn't
cool.
there. She was, I'm sure she was in a house far away from that. But he definitely went back. And my thing was that, you know, I guess I can't, who are we or who am I to really say that you need to forgive somebody or be over something? Because ain't nobody ever tried to kill me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Nobody.
That's a different level of forgiveness.
Yeah. Listen, I can't, you know.
I'm not that type of Christian. You know what I mean?
Because I might try to throw hands every time I see you.
Yeah.
Right. And you see, Gucci ain't sat down one time. He ain't sat down one time.
One time.
Like, you ain't about to catch me sleep. No.
And I was like betting on the fact that he was going to keep his jacket on the whole time too. So when the jacket came off, I was like, all right, Jeezy, you can take your jacket off because I know you hot too.
Because I kept thinking, I was like, oh, there must be heat in those coats, if you know what I mean.
Listen, there was one point where I just knew that we all 1.8 million of us watching the shit was about to witness a murder. Like,
baby,
I just knew we were gonna witness it.
And then watching the comments on Instagram, and people would like make jokes about it. And I was like, y'all don't make jokes about the bullshit, because if it happens, you're gonna be mad that you said it.
Right. You'll be mad. Be like, a hashtag, damn.
Because Gucci had like 25, 30 people with him. Like, that his corner was so packed. It was crazy. Like, it was like, not a mask in sight, though. I tell you that.
And Atlanta's going down, isn't she? With confirmed cases?
I don't know.
That herd immunity is real. Or are they underreporting? Some may, right.
I feel like they're underreporting.
They have to be underreporting because, like, Atlanta's open. They went to Compound afterwards.
Child. Yeah.
And Compound
was breathing their grandma face on Thursday.
Most of them live with them anyway, so it's not like.
Not they live with Geraldine.
How many niggas you know still live with their grandma? Ain't nothing wrong with it.
They nothing wrong with it at all. They mama ain't putting up with the shit. So the next person who gonna always be forgiven is the grandma.
Yeah, it's always the grandma. They always be like, come on, Geraldine, make him, let him stay.
Not Geraldine, let him stay.
Like, that's literally what it is.
That's true. That is literally my grandmother. That's literally Laverne. She has said that so many. She has such a revolving door of my cousins. It's like not even funny. They had to all go when she had stomach cancer and she was recovering and stuff. Everybody had to get the fuck out of her house. But before that, I swear it was a revolving door of cousins who need. And she was just like, he need a break. He needs some help.
Yes,
you just need a little time.
I love that. I love
the eternal shoulder.
Take on all the world's problems on their shoulder.
Yes, God, I love. I stand them.
I mean, this is their season too. You know, grandmas love Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Yeah. Listen, anytime they're able to use that arm, and you know what arm I'm talking about?
Okay, that right arm to
arm here, and with the fold, with the flap right here
to make them yams. Listen, to make them yams. Listen.
Yeah,
validation. Stupid. There's validation in that whip, you know, in the flipping of the wrist. I'm telling you.
Shout out to everybody that celebrate with their grandmas. You know, if you could stay away, try to stay away. You know, maybe sit this year out if you can.
We gotta preserve her now. Stay away so that you can get to her next year. Okay.
Right. At Christmas, Mother's Day, or Easter, whatever time you go to church.
Right. Whatever time you go to church. If you go, God bless.
Other one of those three.
I mean,
so y'all watching? I'm sorry, Didi. I mean to cut you off.
No, I was about to go back to Versus because I'm
about
still
to go back to.
Yeah, because I'm mad that Gucci was playing them songs that didn't nobody know.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. We did need to go back to Versus because they left a lot of heat on the table. Yeah, they left a lot of heat on the motherfucking table, dog. Yeah.
So let me full disclosure. There was a part where I was like, I don't know what is this, honey? So I just muted and I just was like, y'all let me know if and or when it breaks out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So other than that, I was kind of like, oh, okay. Like Gucci started out with beef. So that's how we should have known.
Yeah.
Oh, shit was gonna be disrespectful.
Yeah. That was the only reason why he agreed to do it, though, because he was like, it got to be some like trap shit or whatever, some hood shit. So,
I mean, they were in Magic City.
Put on for their city. Yeah.
They were in Magic City, which is a big ass moment, too, to have, you know.
That's legendary.
That's legendary to have Apple Music be up in the building, have Instagram, Facebook in the building, basically, to host a situation where I've been in this club. I grew up four blocks down the street, and I'm rapping the songs about you and your dead homies. Like it's like kind of mind blowing when you like think about it like that.
That's the ultimate like rap career. That's the ultimate like nigga dream.
Yeah,
that's like full circle. Like
was one hell of a rollout opportunity for Jeezy. Like the fact that he dropped the album on Friday, which I ain't giving no spins. I don't care about nothing Jeezy past 2012. But the fact that he dropped the album after that legendary moment, you know.
Yeah. Week before.
I mean, I'm like 2012 is even
better. I'm like, give me Jeezy when he was on Bad Boy South.
Goodbye. Yes. No, I love that Jeezy.
Them boys
though.
Got work.
I
them
love
boys
that fucking Jeezy
paid. Them boys got work. Them boys get paid. Give me that. Bring it back.
Gizem.
Bring it back. Bring it back.
Gosh.
He was sure chunky. Before, so bring a stack. Yeah.
Ha ha!
Yeah,
what is Mr. My?
All Jeezy ad libs all day.
I'm trying to figure out how Gucci did not play Go Head and Freaky Girl. How do you not play those records?
How do you not play those? Or I'm gonna add another one to that mix. Five Star Chick.
How do you not play Five Star Chick?
I think because they were trying to keep it like. You know,
no,
yeah,
masculine,
but
not masculine.
But Freaky Girl was bigger than Lemonade to me.
To me,
then on top of that, you just had Mulatto release the remix, essentially, where you had a... So you really could have played Freaky Girl, then stopped it, and went into your verse with Mulatto. Like,
right. And the crowd would have went hype, because they know that one.
Would have further proved his point about, you know, you got all these old hits, you don't got nothing new, which he was valid. Mm. It was very, very valid. It was just... strategically, I thought Jeezy would have won anyway. He just, in my opinion, his records just stand up more from that specific time you're referring to, XD. But, you know.
Yesteryear.
Gucci could have, he really could have had
some wrong songs.
Picked the wrong songs.
Yeah. Like, what is these Atlanta-ass songs? You haven't been, like, living in it. Like, literally anytime, like, Jeezy would, like, towards the end when Jeezy was knocking him over here with hits, because I feel like he saved, like, the big hits to the end, what you supposed to do.
Yeah.
Gucci would come back, and I'd be like, what the fuck song is that? Like, yeah. What? That's how you come back to Way Too Gone?
Yeah.
That's how I felt about all verses, though, because you'd be like, okay, it's supposed to be hit for hit for hit, and then all of a sudden Patty drops out. You'd be like, Patty, what the fuck is that?
What song is that, Patty?
Like, which album, deep album cut was this?
Yeah, this must be a seaside on the 45.
Like, girl, Gladys just played the song from 007. What is this?
Right. Yeah. Who is this? You talking about your Burger King commercial song, girl.
So who do y'all think would be, because now Versus is apparently on the second season. I didn't know they were doing seasons, but that was the season two premiere. That was the season two premiere. Who do y'all think should be doing Versus soon? I was trying to think about this, and like there's an era of like women in R&B that they haven't hit yet, like early 2000s.
Yes.
Yeah.
I have like a wish, but it's shady, but it's to prove a point.
Okay.
It's because I want K Michelle and Sharifa to do a versus just to prove that K Michelle stole Sharifa's career.
Oh my god.
That's just neat.
Not Sharifa.
Yeah, I need a boss. That's the gym. You can't deny. Yeah. Big tune. They should have verses of like all the lost queens, like Lil Mo versus like Nicole Ray.
But what Nicole Ray had? What album was she gonna play?
What album is Lil Mo gonna play?
This is true. Lil Mo only had one album too. Well, no, I think Lil Mo had two.
Same.
Same.
No, we gotta remember now. People gotta have enough hits for verses.
This is true.
That's also the problem, though, because it's like, who is capable of, like, all the artists that they have shown on Versus or displayed on Versus have had, like, decades worth of hits, right? I can't, it's hard for me to think who is, like, relevant kind of today still outside of Usher. But, like, the only other people that would make sense would be Trey Songz and Chris Brown, but I don't really want to hear either of them niggas like that.
But then why not Usher and Chris Brown?
Ooh.
Or is that
I could see a Usher Chris Brown, but I think
Usher is.
I know, like that's,
and
the
that's
thing.
The thing. A lot of people do think that way about Usher over Chris Brown, but Chris Brown has had so many hits, and that is the thing. He's had a lot of hits, and people don't want to give Chris Brown those flowers. So I get it, but.
It's true. I just think that it's hard for me to, because they're like newer artists, right? So like they're more of like a social media type of artist. Like Chris Brown had come out with like 97 albums with 68 tracks on it. You know what I mean? Where Usher has like a classic album with 15. So it was like, where do you go from there?
What you mean as far as like who in Usher's generation?
Nobody.
And like. Yeah,
why he's Usher.
I want to see. I think who we had on this show. Somebody said it on this show that they want to see Jay-Z and Beyonce do a versus against each other.
That's cute.
That would be cute.
That would be cute. But who can Jay do? You know what I mean?
The ultimate versus would have been Jay and Wayne. But we don't really acknowledge that other nigga like that anymore.
Yeah, we don't. Mm-mm. No, we can't eat off the culture no more.
No,
but that would have been a great. That would have been a great versus, like, especially thinking about Lil Wayne mixtapes.
Right.
Woo! Yeah. Okay. I didn't think about that. That's a good
one. Niggas would have been cleared. However,
canon.
Yeah. I just think, I don't think Jay-Z would do it because then we'd have to be subjected to Tidal. And I just.
Who would Drake go against?
Drake is going against himself.
And that's another thing, too.
Rihanna.
Like, a lot of these good people, they should do like intimate, like one on ones. Like Drake can like do like a talk about his hits. Although I guess
More like a storyteller's.
Like Babyface did for the Waited to Exhale soundtrack. Like,
oh that was really, was beautiful. Really good. Yeah. That was.
It was like a Mother's Day special that we need.
Yeah.
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 But like something like that. Cause a lot of our contemporaries don't have peers. Like think about it. Who's Mary J. Blige gonna ever go up against?
Keisha Cole.
What? And you tried to say that with a straight face.
I did. I really did. Like literally leaned in.
Dude. So like, dude, you didn't believe that.
But wait, hold on. Who can Mary go against? Like, we talking decades.
She can't.
That's
she
like,
can't.
Who can Janet Jackson go against? Nobody.
Missy?
Ooh.
But then no, like it's just two different type of artists.
Yes, and two different times. Yeah. But I love the legacy there. Y'all are going after legacy artists. So yeah.
It's all about that catalog, that back catalog. Yeah. We get these babies to know these songs.
Maybe Ciara and Ashanti.
I wouldn't mind that. I think that Ashanti may have a little bit more hits than Ciara, but I wouldn't.
She definitely
mind that at all.
Does.
Hold on now. Ciara got more Ashanti hits than Ashanti. Does.
Think about
you think
it.
So?
But think about 2000. Mm-mm. Think about the first decade of this millennium.
Okay, I'm here.
Ashanti had every song on the Hot Billboard for weeks.
Fair.
Just her featuring some other nigga. You know what I mean?
I mean, but we had goodies. I'm we had 1-2 step. We had
Promise.
We had all those things.
We had a lot of songs, but right. Shanti. That's why this is gonna be a good versus.
Right.
Maybe we should do that.
Good one, Ashanti and Ciara. Because Ashanti's a good one to have because she's that 2000s R&B that they haven't tapped yet, I feel like.
Yeah.
That market.
But she's a legend. Give sis her flowers. At one point in time, she was bigger than Beyonce.
Oh, don't remind
her. At one point.
New York Times, Beyonce. But she's no Ashanti.
Yeah.
No.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. She is not.
They was comparing the first, her, the Dangerously in Love to Chapter 2.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like the record stand.
Yeah.
Listen.
Oh, baby.
A hit. Mama sang 5 words.
Ooh,
legend, icon.
When that song came out, I literally was like, well, what is this? It came out of left field, like out of nowhere. Like, is this a bonus track?
Yeah. You had a grandma like moment. All grandma moments. All grandmas had, what is this, baby? Is she just saying, oh, baby, the whole song?
Ooh, baby.
Okay.
A hook.
I understand y'all young people.
Rock with you. She looked just like Janet in the video.
She did. That was given so much Janet inspo.
It was all for you. The all for you situation.
It really was.
You know, Ciara loved Janet too. So yeah, there we go.
Ciara and Ashanti. Hear us, Swiss and Tim. Who we need to submit that to?
Okay, we need to talk to somebody because that's your next verses right there.
Yeah.
Come into it.
Wow.
Y'all watching, so Real Housewives franchise, they introduced a new city. And I'm the fuck here for it. Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
You're here for the Mormon shenanigans.
I'm here for the any type of religious fuckery. I really am.
Same. Like the vow. That shit is wild.
Wait, what?
The vow. It's about that NXIVM cult. It's on HBO. You got to get into it. It's great.
Oh, okay.
I got to watch that.
The vow. V-O-W? Okay.
Mm-hmm, the vow.
Oh.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying because you like religious cultural cult shit. Like, that's what it is. Because Salt Lake City is the Mormon stuff is culty. I'll tell you that.
It's definitely like giving cult.
It sounds like it is.
And so is Miss Mary's church. She got all the runway looks and her church with them with them wooden benches, honey.
Dr. Reverend Grandwife Mary Cosby.
My Lord.
I see where the benevolent fund is going, Mary, and I ain't mad at it.
Yeah. They I did a deep me and my partner, we did a deep dive on Mary Cosby today.
Oh,
she is, yeah. They're
her and her grandfather.
Her grandfather husband. That's why I call her Reverend Grandwife.
Oh, meanwhile, I don't know her last name, so I took it as that being the last name. But no, she is her grandfather's wife.
Sadly enough, it's Cosby. That's her last name. Oh, okay. So she might want to change that too. So she I think Salt Lake City is. At first, I was like, this is stupid. But then when they said, oh, she married her step-granddaddy, I said, let me lean.
Well,
let
my eyebrows went up, child. I was like, wait, what?
Yeah. The lady with the strong face who said she was a pioneer. And I was like, okay, work, George like Washington. Shrek,
but I like her, though.
The lady with the strong George Washington. Face.
Like you know that famous picture of George Washington when he's at the Battle of Gettysburg. Like she looks exactly like him.
She really do.
But it's great. I think you know, Bravo is really good at giving us real good escapism TV. Because I used to think, because they make a show out of anything like Below the Deck. I thought that was the dumbest show concept.
And they have so many seasons.
Yes, but then I started watching it the other day.
Did you?
It's not bad.
It's like a Vanderpump Rules, like you watch exactly the inner workings of being on deck.
Yeah, it's all the shows. All Bravo shows are the same. They all have the same setup, premise, same beef. Only thing that'll ever
works.
Throw you off is when the housewives be like, well, I'm marrying, you know, my cousin or something. That's when you'd be like, who the fuck? But like,
I'm still mad at Bravo and Andy in particular though, because they do not have any gay programming. Like, how are you identified?
That is questionable.
Gay male, and you have no programming devoted to that at all.
I feel like the A-list was supposed to be on Bravo, and then the logos ended up taking it, but like, they don't have any gay programming, and I don't know what the hindrance is, but I also know if they release gay programming, I'd be annoyed.
So, really?
Because I know it wouldn't be done correctly. Yeah. Exactly.
Okay.
I'd be like, oh, honey, all these white gays in Chelsea, we can next. And it's going to be one black gay on there that's going to piss me off.
Yeah, so, fair.
And say that she's somebody who she's not.
So is there a network that you think could do gay programming right?
I think it'd be Bravo, honestly.
Yeah, that would do it right. I think Bravo would be the place if they had other people outside of Andy Cohen being the EPs. But I think the other place it'd have to be like a streaming service, like Netflix.
Netflix.
A place where there's no like real rules.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Because like Showtime would have been the network because they had Queer as Folk and stuff, and they were just lawless over there in the year 2000. Yeah,
the L words.
Yeah, which was great. I think that might be a place, but other than that, I think HBO Max, Netflix. Because like Ryan Murphy has been doing good gay shit all the time everywhere else, but I think now he can like find a real place to do gay shit over at Netflix. So I think that would be a good place.
Okay.
Yeah, Netflix. Yeah. Get that Netflix bag.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like I don't see me on TV at all.
No?
No, I don't see myself.
Yeah, I don't see you on TV either, actually, now which think is, about
and
it.
I think, yeah, when I think about it, I see me a lot in my life, like around, but I never see like people that look, sound like me on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's a blessing and a curse, because especially in Black programming, because it's like, yeah, you want representation and you want to be seen and felt recognized that there are people like us in the world. But mm-hmm. then as creators, you get burdened down with the, you have to be responsible. You have to be everything and hit all yeah. Those notches right. of inclusion. And
that's the part that sucks, because you have to like show up for other people as well on top of the community that you're serving.
Yeah, yeah, like I'm tired of everything is Black excellence. Why can't I just be Black okay? Like, you know, be like a Black eye. You know what I mean?
Like Black, I'm Black eye. Like yeah, I'm here. That's fair.
I'm alive. Fair. I'm breathing. My bills are yeah. paid. I'm okay.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to, like, why can't I be, why don't I have the space to be mediocre as a Black person? Mm. What if I want that to be me? You know, if other races don't have the ability to be mediocre and whack, then why can't I?
That's true, because there's a lot of mediocre white programming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Roseanne made a whole TV show off of it.
For years.
Yeah.
Made she bread for years.
My first example. I was like, Roseanne has been on, for better, for worse, forever.
And that is mediocre at its finest.
It is. Mm. It is white wow. people on a couch.
That same dusty, fucking rusty ass couch.
White people on a couch in the square states. Just mad. Mm. That's exactly what they are.
In the square state.
Are you a writer? Do you write shows at all?
Mm-hmm.
See, I felt it. I knew that. I didn't know that, but I felt it.
Yeah. You do get that.
Okay.
Yeah, on. I did a I did a rewrite for a feature a couple years ago, and then I do short stories, and I've pitched a couple of TV stuff. One project got stolen and went to TV and made a huge hit. But
damn, are you serious?
What the fuck? I got a fight.
That really be happening, huh?
What?
Yeah, yeah.
Not it became a hit.
Yeah, and you've seen it. I'm not gonna say the name.
It's okay. We're gonna talk after this.
But it was a show on a network that it's a cable premium network. But yeah, they took it.
Wow.
I mean, it's not on the air anymore, I don't think, but they took the concept over at CBS and they developed it. And yeah,
well, that's fine. I mean, if you got one, you got more up in there, so
yeah,
that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah. But I've thought about writing a gay series, and it's come up a lot recently, and I'm just trying to figure out how do I want to do it, because a lot of times, you know, just stuff in general, it's just like, you don't want to be whack.
Yeah.
You don't want to tell the same stories, even though a lot of times the stories that we all have overlap.
Yeah,
the same absolutely. Type of theme. Yeah.
But your lens is different. Your Black eye, you know, lens is different. And we don't see that, especially from the perspective of a gay man. Honestly, Dee Dee, when you said that, like, you don't see yourself on TV, I started thinking, like, no, you don't. No. And I think there was like obviously an amazing moment with Pose, but that's very specific to one group of people from the LGBTQIA+ community, but then also a very specific time.
Right.
Exactly. So
I mean, because granted, you know, if I was in the late 80s, I would have been a house mother as well, but that's right. not my reality.
That's not your reality.
Right. Yeah.
And I often think a show like Pose is important, but I don't think Pose is for my particular demographic.
Right.
Especially for someone who has lived that experience. Mm. So it's kind of like a lot of times with programming, especially Black programming, whether gay or otherwise, it's a lot of explaining as opposed to just being.
Mm.
And I wish, and my fear is that whatever I would create is not received well because of the fact that it's a Black thing, and it has to be a lot more explained. Thankfully, there's programming like Insecure where they don't have to explain much, but there is some explaining that does happen on that show. So I'm like, where do we get to the place of where we could just be Black creators and just be, instead of just having to explain and educate? It feels like that's all we do, even on our podcast. You know what I mean? Like, we have to go through here on this show. You have all these people come on as guests and you know, try to navigate, you know, womanhood through womanhood and sexual liberation and also having morals and stuff like that. And a lot of people will come and be like, well, I don't understand. And it's a vicious cycle. It's just like, well, nigga, why can't I just be?
Why can't I just do what I do and you just listen?
Why can't I be Black
That's the fucking title of this show. Why can't I just be Black Eye?
That's it. I'm motherfucking tired of being Black excellence.
Motherfucking tired.
It's a pandemic.
I mean, and this soul is so aspirational too. Like, you gotta put in work to be Black excellence.
A lot of work.
And it's work that is constant and it doesn't stop. Like, I don't wanna be Black excellence, but I gotta keep doing things to be that person. And so I'm tired. I just want to be Black Eye too.
Same. Yeah. Like, I'm on my year of hell no right now. So, like,
your year?
Like, Shonda has a book called Year of Hell Yes. I have a year of hell no. So I literally have, you know, done XD stuff for the last 12 years. And I, at the same time, you know, I was a social worker for a very long time. And so now that I'm a creative full time, it's like, I now have the propensity and space to just create and just be. It's like, I need to decompress from, you know, the last decade or so, you know, helping people. So now I'm just like, oh, I'm saying no to everything for the most part. So that's until beautiful. I can, you know, get my mind right and just be like, okay, accepting that Black Eye is the precious of you have to create. And I think a lot of people were doing that at the beginning of quarantine too, like, hurry up and hustle, you know, now's the time to get your weight up and yada yada yada. It's just like, why? This might be a blessing for us to just sit the fuck down and relax,
right? And we've been forced to do that, you know. You still obviously have those people that are still like, oh, you can push through, but I think that shit is kind of gone. I'm not really like seeing that anymore. It's more so like survival, like, we just gotta get through this, because it's hard to just be, and then finding space to be inspired when you're just trying to survive, like, it's a fucking it's hard. So just being Black Eye is that's fucking Black excellence right now. That's fucking Black excellence.
Yeah, we have earned the right to be Black Eye, and I wish we would own it and recognize it.
You're right.
Because there's nothing, and there's also nothing wrong with it either. Mm-hmm. It's all right.
It's all right.
I love my Black people, I tell you. Right. Like, but I see that just goes into what you're saying. Like, what is normal doesn't have to be explained. And you can just be, and surface programming for people who identify with it and not be worried about fucking numbers and recoupment and all that. So continue to be that voice, because I know you got some more ideas in the head of yours.
I do. It's coming after my year of hell no is up in January.
I'm excited for this year of hell no. I really am excited about it.
Listen, I'm encouraging everybody to do it. Everyone, like, say yes to everything. No, say no.
Say the fuck no.
It is no. Great.
My daughter screaming that from her room right now. No, you right.
Exactly. Kids are the best people to learn from. They're the most, like, they're unhinged, but they're the most free.
Free unhinged people. As fuck, dog.
Yeah, freest people on the planet. They speak their mind. They share their emotions. They do what they want to do. Like, it. I mean, of course, they don't have to worry about bills or anything, but we can learn a lot.
We can learn a lot from kids.
We can learn a lot from the little ones.
Child, right. And I wanted to be grown so damn bad.
Same.
Listen, I have wanted to be an adult since the 80s. And now that I'm here, I was like, ooh, the ghetto.
Ooh, wow. This, so this ghetto. What I wanted.
We also only got the same kind of bills. So these bills is on steroids.
These bills are different. Bills. Okay.
They didn't even have reoccurring charges, like a little, you know, just come out of your account the same. The phone bill, like what? They had the phone bill in the house, not the phone bill, the cell phone bill, the Apple bill, the Spotify, the Netflix, the Hulu, the
like, portable,
the Hulu.
Healy.
In my room.
All right, that's enough now. Because then y'all going to start pulling more words out your arsenal.
Right. Yep, you're right.
No, but these bills be kicking my ass. I'd be like, well, I thank the Most High that I could afford it, but ooh, Lord.
Yeah,
on our neck.
Yeah, nobody prayed. Nobody told me there'd be days like this.
So with that, XT, what would you tell your younger self?
That's a good question. What would I tell my younger self? I have like practical advice and I have like theoretical advice that I tell myself. My practical advice would have been to go to community college first.
Okay. That's a first.
The reason why is because A, there's nothing wrong with community college. I think everybody should go to community college first.
Yeah.
It's a great place to build your skills, because ultimately getting a bachelor's is just a fancy way of telling people that you know how to follow directions. So a lot of things that I know and now such that I do could be applied with classes and stuff, but instead of wasting time and a whole bunch of money in undergrad, I could have just went to community college and then figured out what I wanted to do from there. And two, definitely not to take life as seriously as I once did. And I think that has a lot to do with, again, like I said before, preparing myself to move to New York. You know, I felt that I had to envelop or engender this type of personality that I necessarily need to, that happened to be callous and really kind of cold, because I felt that that's what New Yorkers had to be, which is completely untrue.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, just not to take myself too seriously, just relax, because it's going to be a hell of a journey, whether I like it or not.
I love that. Yeah.
A beautiful journey.
Yeah. It's been great so far. Life is dope.
Life is dope.
It is.
Yeah. I mean, it sucks to say that during times like these, but like, it also makes you appreciate, like, you know, well, damn it, I made it. Thank you.
Listen, glass half full, because I'm sure you have some things that you could bitch and complain about too, like everybody else, you know. So, but choosing to see, you know, to see the blessings is,
I think that's also how you make it through being black-eyed too. You know what I mean? I feel like a lot of times when you strive for black excellence, you don't necessarily see a lot of the small things that are great and beautiful about in our existence. And so when you allow yourself to slow down,
you see,
you're able to appreciate a lot of things that have been afforded to us by either a higher power or people that worked really fucking hard to get it for us.
That's right. Because we come as one, but we stand as 10,000, as Maya Angelou said. Yes, it is not just us. So I love that you mentioned that about being black-eyed. It's like, yes, black excellence is a thing or whatever, but that is also like a level of stress. More money, more problems, and whatever else comes with that life, you know? So, but black eye is, that could be a cute little like nook of just, you know, amazing gratitude and less stress. You know, obviously you have your stresses, but you doing all right.
Yeah, right. I think I definitely want my goal for us as a people to just, I know we all live in a heightened state of stress and awareness just because of the color of our skin and the country that we live in. Mm-hmm. But just if we have the ability to take at least one stress away as of this pressure of being excellent and being the exception all the time, you know, think about what wonders that would do for all of our mental health and and getting out of this imposter syndrome too, because it has Black excellence does that too, because you, especially as a creator, you'd be like, well, I see Issa on here, I see so-and-so here, I see yada yada here, and it's like,
you don't have to be Issa. Issa is Issa.
Right, just be you, and when you're not pressured with this, again, having this idea of having to produce and having to be the exceptional Negro all the damn time, you know, the stress goes away and you're able to, you know, live and breathe better and relax your shoulders a bit.
Because
when's the last time when's the last time you actually relaxed your shoulders and was just like,
I ain't about to do it because
like, I'm still tense.
So, like, I'm going to have to lean back, like, okay, all right.
Yeah.
We doing exercise, y'all. We relax. So, everybody right now, if you're listening, relax your shoulders.
Just unclench, unclench your jaw. I know everybody's jaw has been clenched since the election. You know, relax.
Literally.
You know, just relax your shoulders. I know it's difficult because, you know, you can't see grandma and them, you know, for the holidays. But just really take the time to relax and just know and rest your understanding that everything is going to be okay.
Yes.
And what do you know for sure? What do you know for sure?
Yes, what do you know for sure? That everything is going to be okay and that God loves me.
Oh. Yes.
Oh.
Yes, Jesus loves me. Come on now.
Those are powerful things to make it through the pandemic. That and drugs.
And alcohol. I don't
need them drugs now.
I just finished my little cocktail I had. It's a little gone now.
Well, see, there you go. Whatever your vice is.
Whatever your vice is.
What you drinking? Y'all got something.
Oh, this is apple juice. I don't drink anymore. Yeah, I don't drink anymore. So I just smoking I still do, but other than that,
it's fire, honestly. That I'm gonna get to this point where one day I'm gonna put alcohol down completely. So I commend you, XD. I'm coming right behind you.
It's just alcohol be putting on the pounds. I just be like, ooh, girl, I no.
She do.
That she and do. I don't like the way, you know, when you get 35, alcohol make you feel different.
It so does. Like, it really does. And that's why I'm honestly more so limited to just wine. And I have like two glasses and then that's about it. But
wine is good.
But yeah, I want to be one of them people one day that's like, no, I don't drink no more. But, you know, let me drop this, drop my little tincture under my tongue and I'll be high. That's I'll join exactly you in a second. It. I'll join you floating in the earth in a second.
I did an edible last night. Oh my gosh. You would have thought I was on Mars. I literally was on another planet. Like, I couldn't stop moving. I couldn't stop dancing. I was like, I just want to dance. Like, well, I was literally like, just playing music. Like, y'all don't want to dance? G, it was some edibles that I had got for you. But and
those are so good. Those are good.
I hold those close to me.
I got to re-up.
The brand. What's the brand?
I'm going to tell you after this.
Okay.
Yeah, I was about to say, send him a picture because those are good.
Yeah, they don't pay us right now or else I'd tell you, but I'm going to tell you after this. Okay. Not yet.
Okay.
So where can everybody find you, XD?
Oh, yes. Where can we find you? Yes.
You can find me anywhere and everywhere at xavierdelo.com. That's xavierd.
He's hilarious on Twitter, y'all. Like one of my favorite Twitter follows for sure for years.
You can also find me every week on Fridays at JadenXD exclusively on Spotify.
Come on, say that one more time. That's a little flex.
Yes, exclusively on Spotify.
Yes.
Download the app for free and you can listen to us and all 256 episodes for free.
Come on.
You can find JadenXD.com. So that's where I am all. I'm all around the interwebs, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all Xavier DeLo. You can find me.
And hopefully
you can Google me.
On a small screen near you.
Yes, I hope so.
That is coming
soon.
That's coming soon.
Listen, you heard it here first on the Oprah Rose Show. It's coming. I just hope that we get passes to the premiere. That's all I ask.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it'll be digital because I know that it, we
not or drive-in. You know, LA, yeah. LA loves to drive-in.
That's true too. So either way, you're definitely invited.
Love it.
Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you so much. It was truly a pleasure having you and discussing being black. Black as I appreciate that because I'm a person that's always like, what's the next goal? What's the next thing I got to hit? What's, you know, just to, and it is okay to just be all right, because there were times when, you know, we just wanted to be that too, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Thank and you shout out to me. Yeah, shout out to TT. We miss you, sis. You know, we wish we you was on the show. TT. Had some good combo. But yeah, G, what you about to do? The quote.
The quote. I'm about to do the quote. I was made for the library, not the classroom. The classroom was a jail of other people's interests. The library was open, unending, and free. And that was by Ta-Nehisi Coates. I always butcher his name every time. But shout out
to I thought it was Tinashe.
Tinashe. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
That's exactly
Tinashe.
What it is.
Tinashe.
We love to say Tinashe more than one way. Shout out to Billy Shringer and the author.
Tinashe, thank you for correcting me, because I never heard that, child. I was like,
but that quote is really good too, because when I think of going to even like high school, like I was talking about this recently in like social studies and U.S. history, like U.S. history was taught in a way that was like white people's U.S. history. And so even to that point, like going to the library is where you're able to really navigate what Marcus Garvey did, what Adam Clayton Powell did, like what all these black leaders did that I didn't learn about Adam Clayton Powell before the library. Like I had no idea.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
True. Same. Same. Not until I got to college. Not until I moved to New York, honestly.
Yeah. A lot of our heroes, college and then
Shirley Chisholm, like New York. The good sis, ran for president. She has a whole documentary on Amazon if you guys want to watch that. It's actually really good.
Oh yeah.
But yes, the classroom definitely is someone else's agenda and the library is your own oyster, and go out and explore and learn your histories.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And be black as I, black eye.
As black as I.
All right, you all. Well, thank you again, XD.
Thank you.
It was a good time.
This was so much fun.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. I hope you enjoy. I hope that you're safe. Don't breathe on mama, grandma. If you go in there, wear your mask. Yes, all right.
If you see mama, wear your mask.
Wear your mask. That's the least you could do.
All right.
All right, y'all.
Bye, y'all.
Bye. Bye.